Blog Talk Radio.
Tell you a little bit about myself, my background?
Please.
please, please tell us about yourself, and so our audience, our listening audience, could get to know you.
Okay, good.
To have you. So please tell us about
yourself. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you know, I have a doctorate in psychology, and I've studied, and I've been studying pretty much all my life, or most of my life, this field. Actually, I started as I got interested in, I would say, trauma as a young boy, because my my mother developed lymphoma, breast cancer, started off with breast cancer when I was about 11 years old, and she died when I was 12. And so I had the experience of, you know, certainly a lot of trauma as a result of that. It really threw our whole family into disruption. And so I think that had a lot to do with my interest in psychology, because I wanted to find ways, I think, to help myself. And in those days, you didn't typically go to a psychotherapist. And my family never even considered that option, I don't think. I don't think my father thought about that, either for myself or my four siblings. And you know, I went through my periods of depression and anxiety as a result of that. And later on, through my college years and so on, I got interested in psychology and started studying it, and also would, you know, try to do things, find ways to help me resolve this tremendous agony about the death of my mother, which just persisted and persisted for a good part of my life. I also then, another thing that happened was the day after I graduated from college, I had a severe automobile accident. And as a result of it, and I almost died in that accident. I was, my car was hit by another car, and I was thrown out of my car. I flew through the air, and my spleen was ruptured. I was rushed to the nearby hospital, and I never went unconscious at that point, not until later, and they had to remove my spleen. I was in the hospital for 10 days, in intensive care for 4 days, so this was another trauma for me. And after that, I had anxiety while driving a car. Actually, I couldn't drive a car for a while. I was laid up for a few months. But whenever I started driving a car again, I found I was anxious. But I continued to drive because I loved driving, I guess. And I also started developing panic attacks at that time. So I would, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I would get this tremendous terror. And that persisted all the way into my 20s. And somewhere there, I discovered how to cure it by accident. I'll just tell you a little bit about that. One evening, first of all, these panic attacks would come out of the blue. And I think they were related, well, they were definitely related to the trauma of the automobile accident, but I also think it was connected in my with the death of my mother. But time I would have a panic attack, I would try to get rid of it by, you know, I would pace around, I would breathe into a paper bag. I would try any kind of thing that I had heard about that should help. But generally, these things didn't help. It would just be over time the panic attack would pass. Well, this one evening, and this was quite a realization for me, I was having this panic attack. I was sitting in my living room. All of a sudden, I had this panic attack. It was just this tremendous fear going over me, vibration throughout my body. It would feel like it felt like I was, there was a tingling throughout my body, and then my heart started racing. I was having a fear response, in technical terms, from the point of view of the neurological system. It was what's called the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, which creates the fight flight response. But anyway, I didn't understand that at the time. But I tried all kinds of things to abort the panic attack. What I did is I paced around and I prayed. I rubbed my hands together. I went to the bathroom. I washed my face with cold water. I then went downstairs and took a shower. After I got done with the shower, the panic attack was still going on. Then I took another shower. This time I thought I'd take a cold shower. Maybe that would help. And the panic attack persisted. So I dried off, and then I thought, well, why don't I run down the street? Maybe if I run down the street, that'll help. So I ran down the street about an eighth of a mile and then turned around and ran back about an eighth of a mile. Got back into the house. I was still having a panic attack. Here's the remarkable thing, and I think this is, I see this as related to some other things we're going to talk about here. I became very frustrated with the panic attack, and so here's what I did. I laid flat down on my bed, face down on my bed, and I said, get me. Go ahead and get me. And I went into the panic attack. Immediately, it disappeared. Immediately, it was gone. And I searched throughout my body to try to find where did this panic go? And I couldn't find anything. There was no anxiety anywhere in my body. Actually, what I felt was very relaxed and very calm and relaxed.
Excellent.
Well, then I realized at that moment that what I had done was the complete opposite of what I was trying to do before. Everything else was about trying to get rid of it. And in this case, what I was doing was I was embracing it. I was more even trying to accelerate it, which went, you know, totally against what you would normally want to do, you know.
Right.
Well, anyway, I realized, too, though, and this was quite an epiphany, that I couldn't do that in the future as a way of trying to get rid of a panic attack. Because if I tried to just go into the panic attack with the intention of getting rid of the panic attack, that would be the same thing as trying to take the shower to get rid of the panic attack or run away or something like that. I had to be really authentic. I had to really mean it, that I was willing to experience it, to go into it, and that had to be that was the necessary condition. So anyway, about a week or two later, I was actually sitting in the same living room, and the aura that typically came about prior to the panic attack just came over me. And so it was like a vibration throughout my body, kind of like, you know how in Star Trek they would say, beam me up, Scotty, and all of a sudden you would see this, you know, your body would become all these vibrating molecules or whatever, and then you would disappear off into these, you know, the starship. But anyway, that's how I imagine. That sort of gives a sense of what the feeling was like. But anyway, it started, and immediately I closed my eyes, went into the feeling, and it immediately disappeared again. And from then on, I never had any problem with panic attacks. And I was also able to do this. I discovered that any kind of distressing feeling that I had, any kind of distressing emotion, as long as I tried to get rid of it, that didn't seem to be the right way to do it. I started discovering what you had to do was really be willing to relax into it, to really be willing to experience it and go into it, and that would cause it to disappear.
Makes sense.
Okay, so that was an amazing discovery for me, and I ended up finding out later that other people had explored similar kinds of things. I think that there was an approach called logotherapy, and it was developed by a doctor, Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist, and And he had a technique that I didn't know about at the time, but he called it paradoxical intention. And it was like to try to do the very thing that you don't want to be happening. So you were, let's say you were feeling social anxiety, you would actually try to exacerbate the social anxiety, try to intensify it. And by doing that, that kind of paradox would settle it down. I don't know about any of the detailed research on paradoxical attention. I can't quote any studies on that, but I discovered later that that's one of the, you know, it seemed to be related to what I was doing.
That's interesting because it reminds me of the concept of critical mass and the splitting of atoms, where the atom being bombarded will inflate and then suddenly deflate, but they keep adding more and more and more. I don't recall what element they shoot into the atom, but then it expands again, and then they achieve what they call critical mass. And it almost sounds like that kind of principle, where you essentially bombard your experiences with energy, and it gets to a point where it just splits, and you're able to handle it, and that's pretty powerful.
I can definitely see the parallel between those two things. You know, actually, there's a concept in physics. There was a I don't know if he was a physicist. The name's Prigozhin, and he talked about any system is maintained within a certain range of energy. That too much energy or too little energy, and the structure falls apart. Okay, and so you can see, for example, let's say I'm looking out my back window, and we have a pond there, and in the pond, whenever it was, just a few weeks ago, it was really cold here, and so that pond was frozen, and now it's not frozen, so the temperature had elevated, so more energy went in and caused it to lose its structure as being a frozen pond. If the sun continued to beat, like I think sometime during the summer, last summer, it was pretty hot around here, and the level of the pond went down considerably. And so that was like even more energy being applied to the pond, which caused it to convert even further, to lose even more of the structure, and to go from a liquid into a gas. Okay, so you can either by pulling away energy or adding more energy, it causes the structure to change. That's, one of the things we're talking about is tapping. And there's all kinds of tapping approaches out there. And I studied the original approach, which is called thought-filled therapy. I studied with the founder of that, Roger Callahan. And this is back in 1992 when I started looking at. I studied various other approaches to therapy before, and this was one of the most amazing, odd kinds of therapies I'd ever seen, that you would tap with your fingers at different locations on your body. What I think goes on here, though, interestingly, okay, so you're having something bothering you. You have an emotional response. You're having, let's say, anxiety, a phobia, a panic attack, whatever, an addictive urge. And while you tune it in, that system is right there on board. You're attuned to that system. We're gonna call the anxiety a system, the depression a system. Okay, so it has a certain structure to it. It has an energetic structure to it. Now, while that's going on, and you've got your focus on it, you're putting your consciousness right on it. You're attending to it, and then you start tapping at specific locations on your body. You are, by the tapping, you're creating what's called kinetic energy. And
right. It
is firing that energy. It's transducing the energy, transforming it. and sending it into the location of this structure that you're paying attention to. And that breaks it apart. That adds so much energy to it that it can't maintain its form. And then you can also think of it as it causes it to flow. Instead of being blocked, it moves again. Okay? But you have to have the right attitude, I believe. If you tap with too much of the intention that I got to get rid of this, then you're not being very mindful. And you really want to come from a, as much as possible, a mindful approach. And mindful meaning observing it in a non-judgmental way. I'm just going to observe it. I'm going to notice it in my body. Notice the emotional effect while I'm doing this tapping. And that facilitates its transformation or its transmutation.
Right. So would you say also, you know, there the concepts of miracles, for example, and the concept of healing are two completely different issues. A miracle is something that people expect at the moment, right then and there. I want it now. I want it yesterday. While healing is an acknowledged process. So when you go into the energy tapping, it is a healing process. It's not intended to be a miracle. And it also reminds me of the spiritual technique of Aikido, which is using an adversary's own energy against himself or herself. And it sounds like a really, really fascinating and effective technique that you've developed here. Really awesome.
Well, I could see it being related to Aikido as you describe it there, and you know, whenever we have a these problems that come up, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, we don't like to feel it, so we in some way resist it, right? You know, the natural tendency is to try to get rid of it, to block it, to push back on it. And there's an old saying that what you resist persists.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's not going to allow for the flow. The better way is to kind of step out of the way and just let it be like a martial artist, you know, and just let it pass. What you do is you notice the way it feels, you relax into the feeling, and then you tap. Actually, very often, if you just really deeply relax into the feeling, it'll dissipate too. But if the feeling is too intense, it's very difficult for people to do that.
Right.
You know, very few people would do what I did whenever I was, you know, my early 20s, and I overcame that panic attack, you know. But I was backed into the corner. There was nothing else I could do. Nothing was working, so I just went into it. Now, most clients that I've talked to, if I tell them something like that, very few people have been able to do it that way because they're usually not backed into the corner, so to speak. They believe that if they give into it, it's going to just go way over the top. You know, they're just going to go totally insane or they're going to die or whatever. So they find it hard to do that because the emotion is too intense. When you add tapping to it, though, that has a way of modulating it. It makes it easier to bring your attention to it, to focus on it, to accept it. And then it naturally changes in the process of doing that.
Right. Before I bring Mel in and Donna, there is a question that I do have in energy tapping. There is when you're dealing with trauma related conditions such as PTSD, perhaps even something as horrible as dissociation and stuff like that. I'm gathering that there are various parts of the body where the energy needing to be tapped are located. So when it comes to finding these energy sources, these energy points on your body, what is required? What's needed to find these? Because I'm sure that I'm trying to understand my own question here. If you're feeling depressed and you're feeling anxious or you're feeling any number of symptoms in psychological symptomologies, how does one determine the point of energy that's needed to be tapped?
Okay, that's a good question, David. And let me just back up a little, because I don't know how much the listeners are aware of this, but let me just say something about PTSD and then go to those points too. But if somebody has a post-traumatic stress disorder, well, actually you can use two different terms. One term is post-traumatic stress, and another term is post-traumatic stress disorder. Post-traumatic stress is you've had some terrible event happen, and maybe you've been in a severe automobile accident, or you've been in war. You know, somebody that you love has been, severely injured, or they died, or, you know,
you yourself have been severely abused, or
severely abused, anything that's, a horrendous act. So that's a traumatic event. Now, and it's an assault to your security, your survival, or the survival security of somebody you care about, somebody you're attached to in some way, or even just another human being sometimes, because it's an awful thing to see somebody terribly hurt, let's say.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is when we experience something like that, we go into what's called, fight, flight, freeze mode. Now, if you have a normal danger and you can fight, very often you won't develop post-traumatic stress. If you can get out of the way, if you can run away, you won't develop it. But very often what people do is they freeze. It's
right.
Your energy's blocked. Your muscles will be stuck. And what's going on in your body is there's a part of the brain in the what's called the limbic system. It's a more primitive area of the brain. There's a structure called the amygdala. And the amygdala is a little almond-shaped structure, and it's always scouting the environment to see if there's any danger. Now, as soon as it detects a danger, then what it does is it sends a signal to another part of the brain called the hypothalamus.
Right.
The hypothalamus then sends a signal to another part of the brain called the pituitary gland. Then the pituitary gland sends a signal to the adrenal glands, and then you're into this mode where your heart is going very fast. You go into what's called sympathetic mode. So you're in a state of alert. Now, since you're in such a state of alert, and all this tremendous danger is going on, if you can't do anything, you're helpless, whatever, if it gets stuck, what happens? Let me back up. If a danger is happening and you go into this mode, the purpose of this mode is for you to survive. So you're able to equip yourself to run away, to fight, whatever. But sometimes what happens is you can't do that, and you just get stuck. And then what happens, see, if you weren't stuck and the danger passed, then what happens is there's another part of your brain called the hippocampus. And the hippocampus records that the event is over and done with. So it just sort of the energy passes through there, and the hippocampus is kind of your physical correlate for realizing, well, that was then, this is now. When you have post-traumatic stress disorder, the hippocampus does not process the event as over and done with. And so what people do is they continue, anytime the event gets triggered, whether it's conscious or unconscious, the experience is as if the event is still happening. It's still in your face. It's still now. So it's blocked. From an energetic point of view, it isn't flowing. It didn't flow. It's short-circuited. Okay? Okay, so now, if you have a certain number of symptoms we call post-traumatic stress disorder, so you're having, let's say, flashbacks, you dissociate, you have a severe startle response, you have a feeling like your future is hopeless. There's an accumulation of symptoms. If you look at my book, Energy Tapping for Trauma, there's a PTSD checklist for adults, which, you know, goes into the different kinds of symptoms, including sleep problems, irritability or anger episodes, concentration problems, a tendency to avoid certain places, like where you experienced that trauma before, nightmares, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so if you have a certain number of symptoms, we call PTSD, and if it doesn't meet that criteria, but the person's still having some problems, we call it post-traumatic stress. It's just not, it doesn't fulfill the criteria of the disorder. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the disorder now. Now, what do you do about it?
Conditions, there are at least an average of 7 symptoms that need to be found on an average in order to determine the condition?
Yes, you have to go down. You go down a checklist, and if these symptoms are present, a certain number of symptoms are present, then it's called PTSD. But it doesn't mean, I mean, just because it doesn't fulfill the criteria of PTSD doesn't mean the person isn't suffering.
Right.
Because you could still have a pretty serious condition regardless. And sometimes it's called adjustment disorder, or the person could go into major depression as a result of it, or they have a panic disorder. All these kinds of things can come about as a result of traumas. And some people believe that trauma is the primary cause of the majority of psychological problems. You know, more so than any kind of a genetic basis, that it would be because of events, and there's no shortage of awful things that happen to people in
right.
this world, you know, unfortunately. But anyway, now back to your original question. Whenever you treat this, how do you treat this kind of condition? And you're asking in terms of energy psychology, but let me just give you a little bit before that. The standard of care has tended to be things like what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which has been effective. The only thing is, in my experience, it is nowhere near as effective as energy psychology. And we're getting more and more research that supports that. There's been,
right.
There are a number of effective approaches. There's something called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's been highly effective also. The only thing is that it doesn't seem to me to be as efficient as energy psychology. It takes a lot more skill to know how to use EMDR without causing a person to go into what we call abreaction, or having, not that abreaction is necessarily bad, but the person can be sometimes re-traumatized by certain kinds of therapies. But still, a lot of people are helped by these different therapies. Well, where do you have, whenever you use energy psychology, what do? You have the person briefly, for example, bring to mind the traumatic event. Now, I'll describe this while I also describe treating a person. Okay, so one of the first people I treated was, I'm going to say her name was Barbara. That wasn't really her name, but I disguised the name. So Barbara, she was 13 years old. She was raped. And when I saw her, when she came to see me for therapy, she was, in her early 30s. Now, originally, I tried traditional approaches to treat Barbara, and I didn't get I didn't really help her as much as I would have liked. We certainly weren't able to resolve the traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we talked about the event, she would go into a major upset. She would cry, she would shake, she would blame herself. And so I just figured this wasn't the thing to do, so I backed off on that approach to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, she had gone away, and then she came back to see me. And by the time she came back to see me, I had learned how to use tapping to treat different psychological problems. I had used it for some of the events that had happened for me, with me whenever my mother died. So I would bring certain memories to mind, and I would tap, and I would find that I could, that they didn't bother me anymore, that I could see the event, but it seemed so much more distant, and it was, and it wasn't as clear. It wasn't as, it wasn't in your face anymore. It was like way off in the distance is how you would experience it. Anyway, so the point is, Barbara comes back to see me. When she walked in the door, I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to help her resolve that trauma now. And I had no doubt that I could help her do that.
Right.
So she had come in because she was upset about something that had happened in her relationship with her mother. And she was talking about it, and she's just really stewing about her mother. And I said, Barbara, yeah, you know, since I've seen you, I've learned a different approach to doing therapy that I'd like to try with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is I had her, here's exactly what I had her do. I had her think about how upset she was. I said, give me a rating. How much does it bother you on a scale of 0 to 10? If 10 is the worst something can bother you and 0 is not at all, how much would you say it bothers you when you think about that situation with your mother? And so she gave me a number. I don't recall the number, but I'm imagining it was probably up around 8 or 9. So then I had her do this. I said, what I'd like you to do is tap directly on your eyebrow right near your nose, the beginning of your eyebrow at near the bridge of your nose. And so she taps there. And then I had her tap under her eye, directly under an eye, like on the bony orbit under an eye. And then I had her tap under her arm, about 6 inches under the armpit, just slapping under the armpit. And then I had her tap under her collarbone, either side, doesn't matter, either eye, didn't matter, either eyebrow, directly under the collarbone, close to the center of the chest. And then I had her think about the event again, think about the situation with her mother. And stress level had come down. So I had her tap like that a couple more times. And then she just said to me, I don't know why that bothered me. She said, that's just the way my mother is. You know, she doesn't really mean anything by that. That's just how she is. And she's just very calm. So then I said, okay, Barbara, I said, remember when you came to see me before and you told me about that terrible thing that happened when you were like 13? That's all I had to say. And she starts crying. She starts shaking and crying. And she said, oh, yeah. And she says, I never listened to my mother. And da-da-da-da-da. And she's just, so I settled her down, first of all. And I just tried to help her move her focus external. So I had her look at a lamp in my office and describe the lamp. It's a brass lamp, and she described the lamp shade and so on. And I had her look around. So it's kind of, the idea is to go outside of yourself. Instead of into those emotions, you move external. If you're really looking externally, it can help you start to settle down. So it did for her. After a few minutes, she settled down. Then I asked her if it would be okay if we did that very same tapping, but this time if she would think about the traumatic event. And she agreed she should try that. So she brought it to mind again. As soon as she brought it to mind, you know, tears are rolling down her eyes. And so I'm guiding her to tap the beginning of her eyebrow, under her eye, under her arm, under her collarbone, and then I added some other points. The inside tip of her little fingernail, the tip of the index fingernail, the side facing the thumb, and then under the collarbone again. And then I just kept running these. I just kept and she would sometimes, she would lose focus externally. And I would have to say, Barbara, look, here. And then I would guide her again. Sometimes I would even have to tap some of the points for her because she would go internal into the emotional distress. Toward the end, though, now, how much time did this take? It took about 8 minutes. I think that's what we calculated. It was like somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes. And then she was very calm. And she just reaches over, and she took a couple Kleenex, and she dried her eyes. And she looked like she's just totally, I mean, very peaceful. So I said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm fine. I said, are you sure? She said, oh, yeah, I feel good. You know, I feel fine. I said, what I mean is, how do you feel about what happened, about the rape? She said, oh, you know, that's just something that happened a long time ago. And, you know, I'm flabbergasted. I felt flabbergasted as I heard this. Like, well, what do you mean it's something that happened a long time ago? Just a few minutes ago, you were really upset. She said, yeah, I know. She says, it just doesn't seem to bother me. It seems like it was so long ago. Well, you know, you would have thought she would have jumped up and, you know, gave me a big hug or, you know, something. Say, oh, thank you. You've done. Oh, I can't believe it. But she didn't. She was very nonchalant, very just. It was like no big deal. Well, anyway, we ended the therapy session, and then we had it scheduled for her to come back the following week. So she came back the following week. She comes in. She's in a great state. She's just, you know, chipper, nice smile. And I asked her how'd she do over the past week. She says, oh, fantastic. I said, well, what about when we treat, how did you get along, how are you getting along with your mother? She said, oh, that's fine. We're not having a problem right now. And I said, well, what about the rape that we treated when you were 13? She says, you know, when I left here, I really found it hard to believe. I thought maybe you just distracted me. I didn't know what to make of it, you know. She says, but over the week, I would think about what happened. I would go back to that rape in my mind. And she says, you know, it's never bothered me again. She says, I just think about it and try to get upset. She says, it just can't bother me anymore. And I followed her for a long time because we had other things to deal with. She was addicted to pain medication. She was pretty much alcoholic. She had depression episodes. We were able to use the same kind of treatment to help her with that. Okay, now you ask about the points, where to tap. There's different points. Is that okay to move on to this?
Absolutely.
Okay. You asked about the different points. There's different approaches in the tapping field, let's say, and they go by different names. The original approach was called thought field therapy. And Callahan came up with a certain number of points, one point for each meridian of the acupuncture meridian system. Okay, this is the same system used in acupuncture. And there are 12 primary meridians, two collector meridians, primary collector meridians. There's some other ones, but he didn't really pay attention to those. The points are these, and I'd like everybody to kind of get a sense of them by just touching. If you could touch your eyebrow, the beginning of your eyebrow, near the bridge of your nose, like if you go right to the center of your forehead, where above your nose, let's say just where close to the nose, and then move to either left or right side at the beginning of the eyebrow. That's a point on what's called the bladder meridian. And the bladder meridian is the longest meridian in the acupuncture meridian system. It has 67 points. But this is the second point right there. So the numbers go from 1 to 67. 1 is right at the beginning. 67 would be right at the end. The 67th point happens to be on your little toenail. And the first point is directly under the eyebrow. Okay, but the point we use is right there on the eyebrow. Another point is if you go right to the side of the eye, right there at the corner of the eye in the region of the temple, but right there at the bony orbit on the corner, that's another point, and that's on what's called the gallbladder meridian. It's not important to know those terms. We use simple terms like you say eyebrow or side of eye. Underneath your eye, that's on the stomach meridian, but we just say under eye. If you tap directly under your nose on the upper lip there, above the upper lip, that's on what's called the governing vessel. And it's one of the points on the governing vessel. We just call it under nose. And then if you go under your bottom lip, that's on the central vessel, and we call that, under lip. You could call it. Then if you put your hand at the center of your chest near your collarbone, and then just go under the collarbone, either left or right side, you'll feel a bit of an indentation there where what's called the sternum, which is the center of the chest, meets the collarbone. That's on the kidney meridian. So that's another point. We just call that collarbone or under collarbone. Another point is you go under your breast, on the rib cage, directly before the rib cage goes under into the softer area of the abdomen, just right there, if you tap in that area, that's on what's called the liver meridian, and you can just call that under breast. Another point is if you go directly under your arm, if you put your hand at your armpit, then move your hand down about 6 inches, right there, tapping under the arm, that's on what's called the spleen meridian or spleen pancreas meridian, and we just call it underarm. You following these points so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so now after those, then we go to the hands. And if you go the little fingernail, so you look the side of the little fingernail facing the ring finger. And that's on the heart meridian, and then we just call that little fingernail. Next, you go to the middle fingernail. You forget the ring finger for a moment. You go to the middle fingernail on the side there, the side that faces the index finger, and you call that middle fingernail, and that's on what's called the pericardium meridian. Next is the index fingernail or the pointer finger. And you tap the side of the nail that faces the thumb. And that's called, index fingernail. What's called the large intestine meridian in acupuncture. Next is the thumbnail. The side of the thumbnail that faces, it's the ulnar bone, which is not the side that faces the index finger, the side away from it. And that's on what's called the lung meridian. Two other points to consider. At the back of the hand, between the little finger and ring finger on the back of the hand, that's on what's called the triple warmer or triheater meridian. And we just call it back of hand. And Callahan called it the gamut spot. So you just tap that location. And the one more point to consider is the on the side of the hand, like if you were karate chopping something, that side of the hand, the little finger side of the hand, if you look at the palm of your hand, most people, there's a crease that goes, oh, a little past the middle, and it goes, wraps around on the little finger side. It's below the little finger. Do you see that on your hand?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have that? Well, where that crease is the third point on what's called the small intestine meridian, and we just call that side of hand. Okay, so that covers, those are the primary points that Callahan used. And in one system called EFT or Emotional Freedom Techniques, what they do with that method is they tap a certain number of these points. It used to be originally they would tap all the points. They would just run down, tap all the points, and then do there's another procedure called the 9-gamma treatments. They would do that, and then they would alter it with the tapping all the points again. They've tended to shorten that and just tap these points. They go eyebrow, side of eye, under nose, under bottom lip, under collarbone, and under arm. So, and sometimes they add, if you go right to the top of the head, right at the apex of the head, that's another point on what's called the governing vessel. And so sometimes they utilize that point too. You know, it's really debatable whether or not you have to use those points or whether other points could be used. And I have a system I call Energy Diagnostic and Treatment Methods, and so what I've done is outlined a whole bunch of other points other than these points, and sometimes I find that those are more effective in some cases. Also, there's a lot of treatment approaches that you just use the same thing all the time. You don't even diagnose it. It doesn't matter what you're treating. EFT is one of those positions. It doesn't matter whether you're treating a trauma or anxiety or depression or panic or an obsessive compulsive condition or an addictive urge or whatever. You tap the same points all the time. So there's some debate in the field about that. But there's some acupuncture research that showed that there was a study back in 2009, which the study was on about 600 and some patients with back pain, and they compared three conditions, four conditions. One condition was called standard of care, well, however you would normally treat back pain with, you know, medication and rest and whatever else they would use. Another condition was acupuncture. They would just use precise acupuncture that would be used specifically for the back pain. Another condition was what they call sham acupuncture. So sham acupuncture, what they would do is put needles in, but not in the acupuncture points. They would just put them near them. And the third condition is you didn't know whether the needle was being put in or not. So they had a little device that the acupuncturist would press on the, you would hide whether or not the needle went in or not, and the patient wouldn't know either whether or not the needle went in or not, because a little bit of pressure from a toothpick or something could feel like a needle was going in, but nothing was going in. You get the condition? It's like, so they never really knew whether it was going in or not. All three of those conditions were just as effective. It didn't matter whether you precisely used an acupuncture point, whether you used other areas that weren't acupuncture points, or whether you didn't even put the needle in. All three of those conditions worked, but the interesting thing is that they were better than standard of care, which is a really interesting finding. So something with the stimulation is relevant, but there's a lot of other factors maybe involved.
Well, I just wanted to go back to a moment ago or a few minutes ago, well, almost an hour ago, where you you spoke about kinesis and the altering of energy. And everything that you're describing points to that, whether it be acupuncture, acupressure. It serves as an energy altering treatment. And
mm-hmm.
I think that is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah,
the blind technique, a placebo
mm-hmm.
or the actual medication. And you know, I'm not crazy about pharmaceuticals. They make too much money for all the bad they do. But it's like, you know, a placebo plus a name brand medication experiment. What happens when the mind is telling a person that takes a sugar pill, unless he's diabetic or something, takes a sugar pill and says, wow, man, that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
A therapist once told me in a psychiatric hospital that he would give a half a Tylenol to an elder patient, and she said, oh, I'm in a lot of pain. She said, well, this is going to knock you right out. And she was knocked out. It's
uh-huh.
an altering of the energy. It's really, really fascinating.
Yes, sometimes if a person believes that a treatment's going to be effective, that can be that's one of the placebo effects sometimes. But then it's also, there's just not only the confidence in the treatment, but the relationship. You know, the relationship between the therapist and the client, or the doctor and the patient. You know, if you have a good relationship, you feel this connection. And that in and of itself is therapeutic. Matter of fact, there's a lot of research that shows that could be as much as, a third to a half of the effects, of the treatment effects. So, you know, just having a really good connection with someone. Then there's also whenever somebody's observing themselves, okay, when you observe something, that changes it. And that's a basic quantum theory observation, that observing something changes it. So observing, the way you observe an electron, for example, has an effect on it. Observation is a treatment in a sense. Whenever a person pays attention to their symptom, like when I was paying attention to my symptom, my panic, and then even trying to intensify it, just the observation of it is a placebo effect also. You know, it's the observation, relationship. What's that?
Right?
What'd you say?
Psychosomatic.
Well, yeah. But I mean, you know, like, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to use placebo if somebody had cancer. You know, I would rather use some treatments that have been shown that have research benefit, for sure. I mean, you know, every treatment has a bit of a placebo effect to it, though, because, the research shows that, I think on the average, it's about 30% of the effects of any of the medications are due to the placebo effect. So you never escape the placebo effect.
This is true. Except for treatments like insulin, which obviously affect the diabetic's hormonal balance, I don't think there's any placebo effect there in treatments such as that. But I can understand something for pain, or maybe something for emotional pain as well as physical.
If you look at pain, and I get very good results with these techniques for pain. People
mm-hmm.
come in with headaches or back pain, whatever, and I take them through certain tapping procedures. Generally, it reduces the pain, sometimes eliminates it altogether. And now the pain may come back and they have to treat themselves again, but, you know, pain is, by definition, a subjective experience. There is
mm-hmm.
no pain-o-mometer, you know. There's nothing that you can objectively see the pain. But the person experiences the pain, so it is a subjective thing. And the more depressed you are, the more you're tense about the pain, the more it aggravates the pain too. So anything that can introduce more of a calmness is going to have a beneficial effect. And there's some evidence from acupuncture that when acupuncture works, that there's a release of endorphins, certain chemicals in the body, which are natural painkillers. I believe that same sort of thing happens with tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter where you put the acupuncture needle to get that effect, but it doesn't necessarily matter where you tap to get that effect. You know, what I'm saying there, it's true and not true. In some cases, it doesn't matter at all where you tap, and in other cases, it seems that it really matters where you tap. Okay?
Right.
But the more you work with people, you know, I've been doing this since 1992, so I have a lot of experience with working with patients, and I'll find people that, you know, it seems like this should work, and it doesn't work for them, so another point, I find another point works. Maybe that has something to do with their individual nervous systems or where that problem is somehow activated in their nervous system and their energy system as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, here, how about, do you guys need to take a break now? Are we on break time coming up?
Well, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break. The song's under 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and see where we go from there.
Okay, good. Sounds good. All right.
We'll be back.
Listen and you'll hear the heartbeat of a universe teeming with force. See all the forms and the faces of nature taking its course. And feel all the wonderful motion flowing through things far and near. Nature will share her secrets when we are ready to hear. Energies, these are a few of your faces, glowing in timeless places, bringing our lives new graces. Energy, there is no living without you. We must keep learning about you. Now is the time to find how to. Energy, you are profound. You make the world go round and round.
Welcome back to Fire Talk, dear friends, and with us we have, I'm David Little Eagle, I'm your door opener, your door greeter, and your host for this show, and with me is our wonderful producer and co-host, Nell Pohl, and Donna. Welcome again, Donna. Glad to have you on. With us we have Dr. Fred Gallo. It's a great pleasure to have you on the show, sir. Welcome back, and welcome back to our listeners.
Thank you.
Now, what I'd like to do before we get too deep into something else is take a moment and talk to Donna and introduce her. She's my mother-in-law.
I was just myself.
Oh, great. She's my mother-in-law and a fantastic person who's been using this for a lot of years. So I'd like to get her opinion so far on what she's heard and what she thinks about it. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am overwhelmed. When Dr. Gallo was talking about his patient in his office, her name was Barbara, the name that he gave her, I felt like I was back in my therapist's office. It's exactly how he handled my situations. And my reaction the first time that I ever tried tapping was, wow, God. I just got this relief, as I call it. And I have found that if I use tapping in my daily life, that I am a lot more calm. Now, I had gotten away from it for a while because I was too lazy. And I just got it back up a few weeks ago. And it's amazing. Like, people think you're crazy. As far as I think about tapping is that it has given me a better life, because there were a couple of traumas that I didn't realize were traumas in my life until my therapist helped me get to the bottom of it. And so I am very pro energy tapping.
Donna, can I ask you, whenever you were treating, how quickly did the traumas resolve using tapping in your experience?
Well, in my experience, we started with, I think, cognitive energy behavior, and then we went into the hypnosis, tried that, and then he said, this is a new thing coming on, and he told me about Roger Callahan, and I have your book on energy tapping, because he had told me about that, that many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And different, as far as, I went into it with a very open mind. I really trusted my therapist, and I was very fortunate that even though I went to him for a few years, probably 3 or 4 years, it just took care of my whole life. I have like a life before and a life now, and I really feel that he released me from my first life and has given me a second life, and that's why I feel about tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Really made a good difference in your life, huh?
It has. It really has. I'm usually a very, very nervous person, and like to talk on the show today it wouldn't be happening, I don't think, if I didn't believe the tapping and find that it has really helped me in my life. And actually, I find that if I tap when I'm in the shower and I just do the whole meridian points, and I also do the reversals, and It has really helped me in my daily life, and I appreciate for what you went through to help get people up to me where we are today. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a real pleasure, you know, to offer this to people. I mean, there's been a lot of people out there, you know, promoting these approaches, and it's just, I think it's going to offer astronomical benefits for our societies. I go to different parts of the world and I teach. Like I present all over Europe, a lot in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. I've presented in Fiji, of all places, and down into South Africa. So we're, you know, different. Myself and others have taken it around, and we think it could help make it a better world.
Well,
I
believe that it does.
Go ahead, Don.
No, I just said I believe it does. And I had a fantastic therapist who was willing to stay up with the times and try different things. And so I had a lot of trust in him, too.
Uh-huh.
So I think that really makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, the relationship, you know, is very important in the process, too. You know, to be able to feel, you know, connected with someone. But the interesting thing, too, is that you can often just use these techniques by yourself without a therapist. You know, that's why I've written books like Energy Tapping for Trauma. But it's, you know, if you have a good, let's say, good relationship with yourself, and treating yourself, I think that, you know, the technique in and of itself seems to work, but then we have these other effects that go with it, you know, the relationship, the paying attention to the symptom, but that's part of the technique too, is paying attention to the symptom, observing it, rating it from moment to moment. Did you, when you were treated, were you treated with, was it TFT or EFT or
EFT.
Some other version?
Yes, EFT.
With EFT, I see.
Yes, okay. And then what it is I have your book, and it has all the meridian points, and matter of fact, I know them by heart, like when you were telling which ones they were. It's because I do it so often. It's like riding a bicycle. You just don't forget, you know, if you've done it so many times. And I haven't seen a therapist in probably 2 years now, or a year and a half anyway. And what I do is, he used to tell me, like, go to a calm place in my head, and I would do that and just remember the stuff and just actually do the energy tapping. And for me, it works. I find it, I can just, sometimes during the day, it just feels like something comes into my head, and I'm just like, that's okay, and it's gone. So it's just,
yeah, right.
It's a release. To me, it's a release.
Yeah, it just releases right away. Yeah. You know, one thing you can do, too, is if you just even tap when there's nothing on your mind, like when, you know, you're not even tuning something in, and you just simply go through it. Maybe you start off treating the reversal. You know, Donna mentioned the reversals. That's a, it's kind of like a problem inside of the problem, or a problem before the problem, problem that prevents the treatment from working as well. Like, for example, if somebody felt they had a trauma, but then they felt that they didn't deserve to get over the trauma. There's two problems there. There's the trauma, and there's the not deserving to get over the trauma. So you would want to treat the not deserving to get over the problem. So how you do that is, one way is you tap the side of your hand and you say, even though I have this problem, I accept myself. Or even though I have this even if I feel I don't deserve to get over this problem, I accept myself. Or even if I feel it is impossible to get over this problem, I accept myself. So you're tapping the side of your hand while you're saying that several times, and then you go ahead and you tune into the primary problem, which could be the anxiety of speaking in public or anger at somebody or whatever, and then you just start tapping. And then it'll work. It works more efficiently then.
Yep,
so that was
I did.
Your experience, Donna, right?
Yes,
sometimes
that's what I did. I did that in the beginning. And then also the eye roll. I guess they call it an eye roll.
The eye roll,
like a brain balancer or something.
But the brain balancing would be where you tap the back of your hand. As a matter of fact, I should guide everybody through this. So you tap the back of your hand between little finger and ring finger. And you tap there, you steadily tap while you close your eyes, then open your eyes, then you look lower left maybe, then lower one direction, then lower the other direction. Continue tapping while you make your eyes go in a circle one time, then a circle in the other direction one time, then hum a few notes of a song, then count to five, and then hum a few notes of a song again, each time while you're still tapping. That's the brain balancing. That's one of the brain balancings. And then you go back to tapping the primary points again.
That's the type of therapy that I had.
Would you guys like me to take you through something that you could do, and then at the same time the listeners can do at the same time? Would you want to do something like that, or do you want to go in another direction?
I'd like to do that.
I'd like to do it also.
Okay, now this is a simple one. This is something I call I originally called negative affect erasing method. I call it now the midline energy treatment. And there's 6 points to consider. This is the advanced version of it, 6 points. And what you're going to do is I'll guide you through. Let me tell you what the 6 points are, though, first. First point is right at the back of your head at the occipital region. So you just tap at the back of your head, sort of like level with where the tops of your ears are, but right at the directly back of the head.
Okay.
So that's one point, called back of the head. Then right at the top of the head, right at the apex, and you tap there. Not too hard, not hard enough to knock yourself out, but just enough to feel it. Then right on your forehead, what's called the third eye point. It's like if you've seen Indian men and women who have a little tilak on there. It's a little spot put on the forehead. That's the third eye point, and so that's the third point for tapping. The next point is directly under the nose, then under the bottom lip, and then the last point is right at the center of the chest, right at the center, right in the vicinity of what's called the thymus gland. So you're just going to thump that, okay? You got those points?
Yes.
So back of head, top of head, forehead, under nose, under bottom lip, center of the chest. So here's the procedure. First of all, I would like you to bring to mind something that bothers you. Now, try not to get something that's too much over the top, just so that you can learn this procedure. So something, if we could rate something 0 to 10, maybe something that, when you think about it, a specific event, a specific situation that maybe doesn't give you any more distress than, let's say, maybe a 6 or a 7 at the most. Now, if you make the mistake of going to a 10, that's, well, maybe it'll still work, but I'd rather work with somebody individually on that. But, bring this thing to mind. Now, it could be something like somebody said something to you the other day that offended you, or somebody left you out of something and it bothers you, or some memory from the past that bothers you, or you think of maybe there's a phobia. Maybe you have a fear of heights, or a fear of dogs, or fear of spiders, or you have a, maybe you have some pain. Maybe you have a headache, or you have some back pain or knee pain. You could feel, maybe you feel guilty about something. Maybe you're having a feeling of guilt right now, and you'd like to settle that for the time being. So tune in to the feeling or the sensation, and give it a rating, 0 to 10 for yourself, first of all. You got it?
Yes.
Okay, so just keep that in mind, what your rating is. And a lot of times it's a good idea to jot it down, what the rating is. Now then, what you do is this. The first thing I'd like you to do is tap the little finger side of the hand, just tapping the side of your hand. You can do it by tapping both hands against each other, or you can tap one hand, the little finger side of the hand, against the palm of the other hand. It doesn't matter which side, but just steadily tap there, and then make this statement. You can say it out loud or in your mind. Even though I have this problem, I accept myself. Even though I have this problem, I accept myself. While you're still tapping, say it a couple more times. And then even add this. Even if I never get totally over this problem, I accept myself. Even if I never get totally over this problem, I accept myself. Now, while you're still thinking about the problem a little bit, or you can think about it kind of going in and out about it, tap the back of your head. And while you're tapping the back of your head, just say this problem. Or if you want to be more specific, you could say this angry at so-and-so, or this fear, or whatever you want to call it. But you could just simply call it this problem, because you know what this problem means. So you tap the back of your head, this problem. Steadily tapping. Now tap the top of your head. Keep tapping and say, this problem. Now tap on the third eye point with a couple fingers, just steadily tapping, and say, this problem, or think this problem. Now tap directly under your nose and say, this problem. If you're sitting in front of a mirror, watching yourself in the mirror can add an extra benefit, watching yourself doing the tapping. Or watching somebody else tap while you're tapping adds an extra benefit. Now tap under your bottom lip, this problem, this problem. And now tap the center of your chest, just thumping there, and say, this problem, this problem. Okay? Now, with that part of it, now we're not done yet, but look at that. See how you feel. So, well, how would you rate it right now? Did any of you notice any change?
I did.
Okay.
I have a change, too. Lower.
Okay. What level of change would you give it? From what to what?
Like, me too. Make 2 points, from a 6 to a 4.
Okay, from a 6 to a 4, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And who was that? Was that Donna talking?
No, mine was more of like a 6 to a 3.
623. Oh. Okay. David, did you treat yourself too?
Oops, sorry about that. I certainly did. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm I think it's around the same line as Donna, like from a 6 to a 4.
Okay, good. So that's a significant change. Now let's take it a little further. Now, tap the back of your hand between the little finger and ring finger, steadily tapping there. And while you're tapping there, and remember, keep tapping throughout this, close your eyes and think this problem. Open your eyes, think this problem. Look lower left with your eyes, hard left. Keep tapping, this problem. Lower right, this problem. Now keep tapping and make your eyes go one time around in a circle. Big circle all the way around. And then keep tapping, go one time all the way around in the other direction with your eyes. Now quit moving your eyes and hum out loud a song. Just hum the notes of a song. Be any song. Any song will do. Mm-hmm. Be Yankee Doodle, Happy Birthday, do the Dougie, I don't know. Keep tapping, and now count to 5 out loud, quickly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And now hum again. Hum a few notes of a song again while you're tapping. Do the Dougie, Dougie, Dougie. Okay. Okay, so now you stop and you pay attention again. Now, that can either make a change or not, but it kind of fine-tunes sometimes the brain balancing. So did you notice a change at all, Donna?
Yes, I did.
Okay, did it bring it down further?
Yes, it did.
Okay, what about you now?
Yeah, it dropped it down another point, I would say.
Okay, David?
I must be pretty mellow. It's about the same.
Okay, that's fine. Usually the brain balancing does one of three things, really. It either lowers it further. In most cases, it lowers it further, but sometimes it does no change. It just kind of tunes it in more or solidifies the change that you've had so far. And sometimes, though, it can actually make it go back up higher because it tunes in other aspects of the problem. And I'll explain that in a little detail later. But let's go on to the next step. Okay, if it's come down further, fine, you're going to do this next step. If it didn't come down further, then first, before you do the next step, do this. Tap the side of your hand again if it didn't come down further and say, even though I still have this problem, I accept myself. And even if this problem doesn't go lower, I accept myself while you're tapping. So even though I still have this problem, I accept myself. And even if this problem doesn't go lower, I accept myself. Keep tapping and say it one more time. Even though I still have some of this problem, I accept myself. Even if it doesn't go lower, I accept myself. Now you go to this. Tap the back of your head again. Say any remaining problem, any remaining bit of this problem. Now tap the top of your head. Any remaining bit of this problem. Now tap the third eye point again. Any remaining bit of this problem. Now under your nose. Any remaining bit of this problem. Now under your bottom lip. Any remaining bit of this problem. Now center of the chest. Thumping right at the center of the chest. And take a few deep breaths while you're doing that. Any remaining problem. Okay, now you stop. Now you check again. Okay, so now, what did you get from that? Anything?
Yeah, it's still decreasing. It's almost like there gets a point where you just exhale, like it's
yeah,
done.
Like it's gone.
So, you know,
like you can't even think it.
Yeah, what you say there, interesting, is very often what I'll notice if I'm working with somebody, I can see them, okay, or even over the phone, and I all of a sudden I hear this while they're tapping. They'll go, there's a,
right.
And
exactly.
You know that the energy is just moved. It's just really balanced, you know. There, and breathing is a very important sign that there's a move from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic nervous system too, because the more of a sympathetic parasympathetic balance. When you're in really stress, you're in the sympathetic mode, and your brain waves are more high beta waves. When you go into the parasympathetic mode, you have alpha waves and theta waves, more relaxed. So you will see that in breathing too. One good way to shift your state is to do some deep breathing. There's a little technique I call square breathing, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But let's go ahead and check. Donna, what happened to you from the...
It just feels like a relief. It's like I want to think about it, but it's just like it's not really anything to think about right now.
Really anything to think about. Nothing really getting you.
No.
Is that right?
No. It's like I feel good. If I try to think about what the problem was, it's like it's not bothering me.
It's not relevant now, huh?
Correct.
It's like,
correct. That's the word. It's not relevant.
Yeah. What about you, David?
Well, I'm a strange individual.
That's your charm, David. Never forget that.
Thank you, Mel. Yeah, it's like I actually felt tears. Tears coming, and it's like it felt like crying tears of happiness. Because,
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it felt like. Yeah, seeing somebody.
Hey, tears come for all kinds of reasons. You know, it isn't just sorrow. Sometimes a person feels a wonderful feeling, and tears come. You know,
right.
I mean, there's all kinds of situations where people have tears.
Right.
Tears are always a good sign.
Yeah.
Even whenever you're sad and you're crying, that's a good sign because you know sadness is a good way to. Release something, you know, through the crying, you release, you know, that can be healing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I knew what all the other listeners out there are doing, but...
Well, some people had headaches that are gone now, so that's good.
Are they letting you know that?
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading in the chat room and some of them had headaches that were gone after the tapping, so...
Beautiful. Let me show you the one last technique with it that Donna had mentioned. It's called the eye roll. And what you do is sometimes you end a session by doing this, or once it's gone down, when the stress level is down, anywhere from 0 to 2, you do the eye roll. And how the eye roll works is this way. You tap the back of your hand at that point where I had you do the brain balancing, and you keep your head straight, looking straight ahead, but... Shift, put your eyes straight down, look straight down, like toward the floor, without bending your head. And then very slowly and steadily, while you're still tapping, slowly and steadily move your eyes up toward the ceiling, like taking about 5 seconds to do that. Once you get your eyes up toward the ceiling, I like to add this other little feature if you can do it. Take a deep breath. Keep your eyes pointed up while you're tapping and see if you can lower your eyelids while your eyes are pointing up. And then take a deep breath, close your eyes, exhale, then stop tapping. So how's that for you guys?
I felt that right in the chest.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt that right in the chest.
Did that feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a quick stress reducer, the eye roll. You know, just tapping the back of the hand at the triple warmer point, slowly move your eyes from the floor to the ceiling. And then I like to, when I get my eyes up there, take a deep breath and then lower the eyelids while I'm really kind of pushing the eyes upwards. And then exhale and relax my eyes, quit tapping, and that brings the stress right down. It's a very quick technique. So
I think I was already relaxed a lot.
Yeah,
so
you're already relaxed. So you know,
and this,
so you're probably like a wet noodle now. you know.
Exactly.
You know, there's a whole bunch of other techniques in my book, Energy Tapping for Trauma. I just want to, if I could really quickly just say something about it. There's one called Alpha Theta Breathing, which is a more elaborate form of what I call square breathing. Square breathing, what you do is you exhale the air from your lungs. You inhale for about the count of four. You hold it for the count of four without corking your throat. And then you exhale for the count of four. And then you hold it while the air is out of your lungs as much as possible for the count of four. Then you breathe in again. And you do about maybe 10, 12 rounds of that. And that has a very relaxing effect. You can use that in conjunction with tapping. And so that adds another dimension. Or you can even sometimes use it alone. Other techniques I have, specific trauma algorithms described in the book, like the one that I used with Barbara, which was eyebrow, under eye, under arm, under collarbone, little fingernail, under collarbone, index fingernail, under collarbone. And there's other techniques like the midline energy treatment that I took you guys through. That's described in there. All the treatment points are described in there. There's something else. If we had had more time, and we really don't, I would have taken you through what's called the healing energy light process. That combines relaxation and light imagery technique in conjunction with using treatment points. There's discussions in the book about gratitude and compassion. Utilizing a gratitude stone. Gratitude stone is a cute little device. What you do is you find a stone, just look around, you know, and you look, there's my gratitude stone. You know, found it on the ground. You pick it up, say, okay, so you think about a few things you feel grateful about, and you carry that stone around with you. And then at night, you take it out of your pocket and you look at it and you remember a few things you feel grateful about. And you set it maybe on your counter, on your dresser. In the morning, you take it up, you pick it up. You carry it around with you. It's in your pocket. It's in your purse. You touch it at times. And it reminds you of being grateful. Gratitude is a very good state to be in. And so accessing that kind of state regularly is a, you know, it's a good, you're achieving deeper feelings, deeper good spiritual feelings. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of other techniques in there. There's something I call the unified self process, which is a useful technique. I can't think of some of the other. Oh, there's one called the beginning ending technique, but they're specifically described, so it's not hard to read through them, use the technique yourself, or to get together with some friends and you all practice them with each other, or pair up with a friend. You know, sometimes somebody else guiding you through it is a good way to learn it, master it. You don't have to use all those techniques, but I put those in there because some work better for some people than other ones, and so it gives you a lot of choices.
Right. Well, the one that I was really curious about, and I will try to do some more reading about it, is the help one that you have with the light.
Yes.
That looks like it would be something that should be very interesting, especially from what I understand that, for me, back east in the wintertime, I used to get depressed because it was dark. But mm-hmm. Now I'm in Arizona, and I see the sun every day, and, boy, that helps me.
Oh, yes.
It's a terrific
for sure.
Help for me. So when I saw that, I wondered if that had any association
with the healing energy light process. How I developed it, and a lot of years ago, I put that together. I used to do a lot of hypnosis, and one of the ways I would do hypnosis is I would guide a person through, you know, just a relaxation technique, and then we would put suggestions and so on, and I combined the relaxation features with visualization and also holding specific treatment points. So it's a composite kind of technique, and it you know, there's been a this existed before I came up with it, but or utilized it here. But you imagine a light shining down on your head. That's a light, a color you associate with healing, and it's going throughout your body, vibrating through every cell, every fiber of your body, all through your brain, through your nerves, your tendons, your muscles, your internal organs, going all the way down your body. And so you go through that kind of a visualization. Then what you do is you put your fingers at those the third eye point, and you either tap there or hold there, and you take a deep breath, and you make a statement, an affirmation, a specific affirmation described in the book, and under the nose, under the bottom lip, and center of the chest, at each point making a statement. And then what you do is you put your hand over your heart, and you think of something that is a representation of love, caring. It could be like one image that I like for myself is when my daughter and me was a little baby, and I might get up in the middle of the night as she was crying, and I'd get her a bottle, and there was this wicker rocker, and it would be my turn to get up with her. And I would rock her there, and I would sing a song. I would sing a lullaby to her, and I would rock her and give her a bottle. And I would just feel this, you know, just wonderful closeness to this miracle. And just that scene brings a really nice feeling for me, okay? So you get in touch with a feeling on my hands over the heart, and then just let that feeling develop, and then I let it just kind of give it yeast, let it grow, and then you say, I'm sending healing love to resolve this problem, or I'm sending healing love to give power to this intention. And you always have, you start it off with an intention, whether it's the intention of achieving something. It could be something as simple as you want to golf better, or you want to, or you have an issue with depression, or it's a relationship. I'll tell you one. I know we've run way out of time, but this one guy came to see me that had a falling out in his relationship with his daughter long ago, and he kept trying to get in touch with his daughter. She wouldn't have anything to do with him, and he was depressed about that. And it had been years since he had seen his daughter, and she was in college, and he would try to call her at the college, and she would not answer the phone, and he would send her Christmas presents every year, and she didn't respond. I'd send her birthday presents, she wouldn't respond. And so I told him, I said, you know, I think what you have to do is heal your relationship with your daughter in you. And I wasn't thinking of this in any kind of an esoteric way. I was just thinking, just have a sense of peace in yourself. So I had him get in touch. He got in touch with the intention of healing his relationship with his daughter. And I took him through the healing energy light process. And at the end, he felt really calm. He says, you know, it feels okay to me now, you know. And maybe someday my daughter will, you know, come back to me. You know, I'll continue to send her presents and try, but I feel at peace about it. He came back to see me a couple weeks later, and he said, you're not going to believe this. He says, my daughter called me. Just out of the blue, she called him, and she wanted to get together with him. And so they got together at a restaurant around here. I don't know if you have them down there, called Hoss's, and it's a steakhouse. And she brought her boyfriend with him, and they had this nice meeting. And he said, I think she brought her boyfriend for kind of emotional support, moral support. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, when we were done with therapy, it was like a couple years later, he came back to see me about something concerning one of his stepdaughters. And so, you know, I got to see the stepdaughter, but before I saw her, I had a talk with him, and I asked him about his relationship with his daughter that he had that falling out with before. He says, you know, it's as if we never had a problem. He says, we see each other all the time. He says, it's just wonderful. And, you know, was it a coincidence? Or did doing the healing energy light process send out an energy, a connection. You know, there's a principle in physics called Bell's theorem, and they ran some experiments on this where they would have, like, one of the latest experiments was there's a 7-mile tube, and they heat an element at the center of it, and it sends the electrons, or the photons, I mean, out in both directions. And then they could calculate through this device whether it was a positive or negative charge on the photon, which has something to do with spin. And at one end, they could cause the electron to change its charge from either positive to negative or negative to positive. And what they found is when they changed one, immediately the other one changed, which was 7 miles away. And the mathematical calculation says that if one changes, two things that are related, one changes, the other one would also change, and it didn't matter if it was halfway across the universe. So when there's a connection between people, there's this energetic connection too. And I think there's, you know, it sounds a bit mystical. It sounds...
It sounds accurate to me.
Yeah. But anyway, it was blew my mind. It caused all kinds of chills to go through my body. Even as I talk about it now, it does. It's a wonderful thing. Just using a simple procedure like that, which is to get in touch with the intention and give energy to the intention. And I think that's a lot of what we do with a lot of these approaches.
It's kind of the power of positive thinking. It's that same kind of premise.
Absolutely.
Out positive.
Yeah.
No, I think everything that you said is exactly what I wanted to create for everyone out there, because there's so many survivors that I have in my network that really I would like for them to have peaceful sleep and some peace inside, and I think these kind of techniques are extremely important to bring that to them. And
I appreciate
also,
that.
Like to,
I would like to see this be of help to them. If people are interested, I'd like them to go out there and get a copy of Energy Tapping for Trauma and utilize the techniques for themselves and for those the people they love and know, you know, to spread this good news for everybody's benefit.
Thank you.
Is there any contact information you could share with our listeners? I believe there is a website that you have where you know, perhaps we can contact you and your I wouldn't call it an organization, but how, you know, they can get in touch with you somehow.
Sure. My website is www.energypsych.com, and you can go to the website. There's some readings there. There's information about seminars that I do. Lately, most of the ones I've been doing have been out of the country, although at times I do show up in different areas of the country. Like I will present in San Diego in, I think it's in May or June of this year. But they can also contact information for me is available there, or they can people can write to me at fgallo@energypsych.com. I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thank
you. And it's been a pleasure talking with all of you today. I know I was a bit long-winded here, but I hope
absolutely perfect.
Far from it. It was absolutely wonderful. And I want to take a moment to thank Donna Silver. Silva, thank you so much for being on the show with us. You know, you brought some sunshine to the Fire Talk family, and Dr. Fred Gallo, you have brought sunshine to the Fire Talk family, and welcome, my friend and brother, to the Fire Talk family, and Nell, as always, you are sunshine. And for all our friends and listeners out there in our listening audience and in the chat room, thank you for joining us today. And my hope and prayer is that you are all blessed in every possible way. Walk in beauty and balance upon Mother Earth and beneath Father Sky, my friends. Be good to one another, and let's just be positive and strong. Love you guys. Love you, my family. Take care. Tok Shake.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh,